Well, I had a man and his wife working for me down at Singer, and he called everyone honey. He was Mississippi. And she was one of these books, and all her breasts were tremendous. And she was an inspector for me on a line that carried the part of the sewing machine cabinet parts along. And old Dexter, he was back up the line working, you know, and she was inspecting them, marking them, and sending them back to be reworked. And I started by, and he said, "Hey, honey," said, "who's inspecting down there this morning?" And I looked back around, and it was his wife on the line. About that time, she stepped out in the aisle. And I said, "Yonder she is." And he said, "Oh, dog." He said, "It's old Big Tit herself, ain't it?"
Oh. Her husband said
it? There he stood among a bunch of men,
oh.
See?
Terrible.
Now maybe you should have cut that off.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about it.
Hey, do like Mr. Nixon, scratch that out.
Scratch that out? Yeah, I'll go back and scratch that out. Erase that. Oh, goodness. I bet that, she know that, that wasn't fair.
She didn't care. She knew him. She knew what he was and how he was. She just took him face value. Yeah.
Oh.
She done all the thinking and all the check writing. Handled all the money. He was just there.
He was just there? How about if they didn't have a doctor to deliver a baby?
They'd have a midwife. I had a midwife with my baby girl.
Oh, really?
Just one of those happenstances. All my children were born home. And and the doctor, who was a real close friend of ours, of course he kept up with the dates of all the children he's supposed to deliver. But he fell and hurt his hip, and unbeknown to me, I didn't know it, and he was in such pain and laid up till he forgot.
Mm.
So here'd come time for this child to be born in July. How does it all get out?
Mm.
So when it started happening, I went after Dr. and found out he just couldn't get up.
Oh.
Well, then I called, and we only had one telephone in town at that time, so I called Nettleton for a doctor. Well, before Dr. before we get that message and up there and get Dr. back down here in a Model T car, we had a neighbor woman live about a half a quarter up there, so I went up after her, and she was a huge thing and couldn't walk fast, and of course I was young, I could have run a mile, and I just worried to death. Thought once I'd pick her up and towed her down there, you know, but finally she made it down there, and she took care of it, and by the time the doctor got there, the baby was born, cleaned up, and his naval cord taken care of, and he said, "You don't need me, he just examined the wife." And I said, "Well, what's the deal?" He said, "Just half fare." He said, "Such a good job and everything." He said, "Come by and pay me $10. That's what they charged $20 in.
$20.
That was in 1932, during the Depression. It took me a year to pay him, dollar at a time. Every time I'd go to Jones, if I had a dollar, I'd stop and leave. Until I paid that $10.
Huh. That is really something. Well, now, if a child, or like, let's say a boy, had the same kind of facial features as his father, you'd say that boy
resembled his father.
Well,
they all say him, what he looks like.
Looks like him. How about favoritism? Do they ever say
him? Yeah, say favoritism. But most time they'd say looks like
looks
him,
like
and now that. Got studying about that later, and I said, "Well, sure, they both look out of the same eyes. I mean, they look out of eyes." So many of the old sayings didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
If I'd say, "I look like you,"
uh-huh.
Well, we do. We both look through glasses.
We look.
But resemble or favor is, and I would say resemble would be more accurate.
How about if he had actions or behaved like him? What would they usually say then?
Well, you mean about chip off the old block?
Or something like that. Did they ever say he takes after him?
Takes after him.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you another good one about that. That the little...